Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we will be discussing the readings for the 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2007.
A reading from the book of the prophet Habakkuk. How long, O Lord? I cry for help, but you do not listen. I cry out to you, violence, but you do not intervene. Why do you let me see ruin? Why must I look at misery? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and clamorous discord. Then the Lord answered me and said, Write down the vision clearly upon the tablets, so that one can read it readily. For the vision still has its time, presses on to fulfillment, and will not disappoint. If it delays, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not be late. The rash one has no integrity, but the just one, because of his faith, shall live. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
Come, let us sing joyfully to the Lord. Let us acclaim the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us joyfully sing psalms to him.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord who made us. For he is our God, and we are the people he shepherds, the flock he guides.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
Oh, that today you would hear his voice. Harden not your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day of Massa in the desert, where your fathers tempted me. They tested me, though they had seen my works.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Beloved, I remind you to stir into flame the gift of God that you have through the imposition of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control. So do not be ashamed of your testimony to our Lord, nor of me, a prisoner for his sake, but bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. Take as your norm the sound words that you heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard this rich trust with the help of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The apostles said to the Lord, Increase our faith. The Lord replied, If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, Be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your servant who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, Come here immediately and take your place at the table? Would he not rather say to him, Prepare something for me to eat. Put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink. You may eat and drink when I am finished. Is he grateful to his servant because he did what was commanded? So should it be with you. When you have done all you have been commanded, say, We are unprofitable servants. We have done what we were obliged to do. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, thank you for joining us for another week of Your Sunday Reader. Today, as Brian says, we're in studio with Father Mark. Would you like to say hello, Father Mark?
Hello, everyone.
And myself, Dawn. Today, Brian is at class, and so he is not with us, but we will remember him and pray for his good grades, which I'm sure he's getting. We were just sort of having our pre-discussion, and we were both talking about people of great faith that we know. And I talked about my grandma. She has 12 children. Can you imagine that? And she's this tiny little woman. She's wonderful. But she, to me, is a woman of great faith because she raised 12 kids along with her husband. And The instance that came into my mind is a few years ago, I have an uncle who's an architect, and he cut his hand while trimming the hedges. He cut it quite deeply, and they had to take him to the emergency room. And I walked into the kitchen of my grandma's house and found my grandma on the floor and on her knees in front of the sink praying for him. And it just suddenly occurred to me she had done that her entire life, but most people didn't see her do that. But she had great faith in God that he would work through whatever his will is, that it would be done. And so, Father Mark, who did you talk about?
Well, I found my parents to be very inspiring for me. I certainly would think of that also when I think of my own vocation. My parents were an inspiration for me in vocation to the priesthood, because they were just people who were very rooted in service. And so people of great faith. And I was telling Dawn earlier that my parents, when they were younger and after they were first married, they really wanted to have a large family. They wanted to have many children. And they ended up having myself and my two brothers. But my mom also had 7 miscarriages. And, you know, sometimes when things don't turn out the way that we want them to, it can have a negative impact in our lives. But I never, ever saw that negative impact in my parents' life. That even though they didn't have the number of children that they wanted, that they still remained very, very faithful to God. And we were, you know, at church every Sunday and on holy days, and were very active in the church community. So, but they're very inspiring to me to be people who are so rooted in their faith and in their relationship with God that even in some of those, you know, negative experiences of life, it doesn't deter from their relationship with God. And so I think what they did is they tapped into something very deeply in themselves, you know, their faith and their love for God that that was part of their very life. And so as they tapped into that, it was just a reminder to them that, that as they walked through this, they weren't walking alone, that they were walking with each other, but also walking with God through this.
You know, I was just talking with one of my friends last week, and we were talking about the word faith, and he was saying that he has a really hard time talking to other people about faith. He can talk to them about religion and belief in God and things, but faith is hard to talk about, and I completely agree. Something I was reading today was saying that faith is, we put our faith in someone, not something. And so we trust and we believe that God will work forth. Father Mark's pointing out to where I've lost my place. But we put our faith in God that he will carry forth a plan of salvation for us. And we are faithful when we cooperate with this plan. And so it's much more about a person, or God, the Trinity, than it is about faith that something will happen. I think that's important to think about.
I think, yeah, and when you talk about faith, certainly an important element of faith is trust. You know, we put our trust in someone. You know, it's on our coins here in the United States, you know, in God we trust. And, you know, I've often used that in homilies about, you know, do we really trust in God? You know, and I think that our faith, if we are truly faithful people, that we have to have a very deep trust in God, even when there is no clarity in what lies ahead for us, you know, and that's the hardest thing to do. You know, we're people who like to be organized and planned, and we like to know exactly what's going to happen in the moments ahead or days ahead. But with faith, it's so counter to that, you know, earthly daily life understanding, that we have to allow ourselves that ability to really deepen and trust God and allow God to be God, you know. And I think what it forces us to do, you know, we could be like the disciples, you know, and say, increase our faith. But I think as Jesus is trying to point out to them that, you know, we shouldn't be looking outside of ourselves. We should be looking inside. You know, look inside of yourself, because maybe what needs to happen is the growth in our own understanding and abilities of our faith. You know, how far have we tapped into our own resources to even know what we can do? How many experiences have we had in our life that have challenged us beyond what we think our capabilities are, so that we get to a point and think, oh my gosh, I never knew that I could do that, or I never knew that I had the strength or the ability to do that. When we finally do it, we realize, oh my gosh, I've tapped into something new in myself. And I think that should be a fairly routine experience in our life, so that we allow life sometimes to unfold. Not that we disengage from it and let it happen, but that when we have that capability to go with the flow of life, we can immerse ourselves more, you know, deeply into those experiences, and in the process of that, you know, deepen our relationship with God and learn more about ourselves.
For me, a lot of times I have realized how my faith has increased by being a faithful disciple. So I do my daily reading every single day. Now, for me, that's a little bit hard because I don't like routine. But I have found that when I consistently stay faithful to a plan of reading and contemplating scriptures and things like that, my eyes become open to the things around me. Now, they were already there. It's just I have new insight and just a new view on things. And then reflecting back, like you say, you can see that, oh my gosh, I got to this point. And without that reflection and that schedule, I can't. Do you know, I cannot spell the word schedule correctly anytime. I always misspell it, I think because I hate that word. But if I stick to it, I become more faithful in what I'm doing and my eyes are open.
And I think that, you know, when we think about our lives of faith, that there are, we have to realize that we are creatures of habit, mm-hmm. you know, that schedules are part of our life, but that also we can't just go habitually through our schedules just doing one thing after another. You know, mm-hmm. I wonder if the disciples in this gospel reading from Luke, you know, asking Jesus to increase our faith is almost like they're saying, you know, can you give us some, you know, magic pill that will give us more energy? Because, you know, what we really are trying to do here, it's a lot of work. You know, and if we think about that in our life of faith, it is a lot of work, not only work that where we're, you know, doing outreach to others and helping others and bringing the message and the gospel to others, but the work that we have to do in ourselves so that we ourselves are growing. And when we sometimes lose sight and lose track of and maybe drop the things in our daily life that renew us and re-energize us, like daily prayer, mm-hmm. we find ourselves getting into a point where we're exhausted and we can't go on anymore. And so maybe this is a nice reminder to us, you know, where Jesus is saying to his disciples, you know, you've got to look inside yourselves. You've got to take that time to really, you know, look at yourself and see, you know, what is it that I have in myself? You know, renew yourself with prayer. Renew yourself with daily, you know, spiritual reading that will tap into that that spirit, that faith that lives in us that, you know, Paul talks about in his letter to Timothy, that spirit of, you know, power and love and self-control, you know, that's the spirit of God that's at work in us. And to think that we have access to that whenever we need it is just a wonderful thought.
You know, talking about reading, I just thought maybe we should recommend a couple of books that if someone was looking to renew their faith or go a little bit deeper. I, of course, can't think of any off the top of my head, except for maybe there's a new one in bookstores right now. It's Mother Teresa, Come Be My Light. And they're actually her letters that she wrote to her confessor, her various confessors over the years. And it shows that she really struggled with her faith just as we do. And so I guess for me it's reassuring to read that. So that would be one I would recommend. I just started it, so I haven't gotten all the way through it, but I have to think about that.
I think that, you know, any of Henry Nouwen's books are mm-hmm. good spiritual reading. One of the books that I read about a year ago was called What's the Point of Being a Christian, written by Timothy Radcliffe, who is a Dominican priest. And I found it very thought-provoking and inspiring and uplifting to, you know, what is the point of our being Christian and Catholic especially, you know. So, you know, kind of a renewal sense, and we're talking about that in our diocese here of spiritual renewal. You know, certainly when we can find books that really feed our spirit, that's when renewal takes place.
Mm-hmm. And one last one I can think of that you could find at any bookstore is called What's So Amazing About Grace by Philip Yancey. That's it's easy to read, and it's really good, so I recommend that one too.
Great.
So That's just a little sidebar. Before we finish today, I thought maybe we should talk about our responsorial psalm today. We don't often talk about the psalm, but this is Psalm 95, and it comes up a lot. I know it because when I cantrip mass, I often read these words, and so. but in the last verse, it must be verse 9, it talks about, "Harden not your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day of Massa in the desert." Now, that can be a little confusing if you don't know the background of the story. And so just quickly, this is the Israelites had come out of Egypt. Moses led them out of Egypt, and they're wandering around. And they start grumbling, and they're saying, "Why did you take us out of Egypt? At least we had water there." And they didn't have any water. That was their problem. And so instead of putting their faith in God at that point that he would carry them through, they just started grumbling and say, "Oh, we should have just gone back and been slaves." And what happens is God tells Moses to go and strike the rock with his rod, and there'll be water. And that's what happened in the story. That's the two places, Meribah and Massa. And so it's good to know a little bit of background, and you can find that the whole story is in Exodus chapter 17, if you're interested. So,
very good.
I think this might bring us to the end of today's podcast. And, oh, by the way, we welcome any new listeners we might have from Newark, New York. We're glad that you've joined us. And if any of you have any thoughts or, questions or suggestions for our podcast, please feel free to email any of us. You can reach me at dburdick, B-U-R-D-I-C-K, @dor.org. And that would be great. So we thank you for joining us, and have a good week, and God bless.